Hello and welcome to the Advisor Pack monthly session. I'm Mark Little, and we're going to go through some advice and guidance today as it relates to the Advisor Pack monthly program. This is the time each month where we come together and I help you accelerate your progress through what is in fact the only program in the financial services industry that shows you specifically what to do to exceed the expectations of ideal clients. And we do that by working on your skills at implementing something that I've trademarked called truly comprehensive financial services. So it's all about providing a high level of service to a very small number of ideal clients, you know, a community of clients that meet your ideal client profile, certainly 100 ideal clients or less. And most of you in this program have shared that your goal for ideal clients is something closer to 50 than 100. And so let's just say it's to exceed the expectations of a community of 50 to 100 ideal clients. Now, if you have a goal of even less than 50, that's fine. But the point is to exceed their expectations. And since the industry has no definition for the term comprehensive financial services, a quarter of a century ago, I noticed this, didn't like it. And since comprehensive financial services means different things to different people, I worked with clients and did research. I paid a research team, and together with my clients and doing research on affluent people, we've nailed down specifically what the affluent clients are actually looking for. And there are four expectations that surprisingly we discovered that there's no advisor anywhere providing all four. So we'll get into that today in greater detail. But I think the outcome of this program is unsolicited client referrals. So you know that you're implementing properly, you know you're implementing well when your unsolicited client referrals are on the rise. So I guess my question to you is, are you tracking them yet? Are you tracking client referrals in a way that you could look back the last 12 months and for all of your clients, and I would track non-ideal clients of you that you're serving separately from tracking ideal clients. But the question is, for the last 12 months, what's the rate? What's the referral rate? So you take all your referrals for the last 12 months, divide by the number of ideal clients. And so you've got a number for your ideal clients, however many of those you currently have. And then you've got a separate number for the non-ideal clients, which you all call them different things, but you know, you might call them legacy clients. You might call them signature clients. Whatever you call them, there should be a referral rate that you're tracking for the last 12 months for both communities of clients. But what we do in this program, in this session each month is, we go through the questions that have come in to me over the intervening 30 days. And I try to pluck out of the questions that you've submitted to me a couple of questions that really would be the most useful to all of you. And so that's the program that you're in summary. I mean, basically, we send you a monthly project. And so you've got a project to work on to implement truly comprehensive financial services in sequence. And then, you work on implementing that project each month. And then as you encounter obstacles, as you encounter problems with team members or filling team vacancies or whatever you're struggling with, then you contact me and I'll respond in this monthly session. So let's get to it. What did I pick this month? Well, there were two issues. Last month, I told you, spent a lot of time on, asking you, what are your fundamental investment principles? And I noted that in this kind of an environment, which is really, for some clients, worrisome, and for some clients, just outright scary economic environment, high inflation, very seemingly unstable if you're reading the headlines. Financial markets seem somewhat in disarray, certainly down significantly from their highs. And then as far as world events, you know, separate from economic events, you know, it seems like we're toying with nuclear Armageddon in Central Europe. So, you know, whether it's world events, the economy, or the financial or investment markets, things are in disarray. And what I spent last month talking about is it's actually times like this where you acquire clients faster. So this has happened to me several times in my career, being at moments like we're in right now, where economy, world events, and the investment markets, all three seem in disarray. And because my fundamental principle number one is faith in the future, this is a time when you add clients at a much, much, much faster clip than you do normally. So my question to you is, are you having your best year ever? You should be. And if you're not, you need to be submitting questions to me and explain why not. Because with nervous clients out there, you know, the opportunity is they are not, if their advisor is the typical financial advisor, which is to say they don't do very much for the client and they're just kind of throwing them into a turnkey asset management program and then meeting with them periodically to explain what's happening in the markets, which right now is just a big decline. For advisors that aren't providing much value, when they meet you and they realize what your value you're providing to your clients, they will fire their advisor on the spot and hire you at much faster pace than when the economy's cooking along normally. So we had lots of reaction to that right there, which I went into in detail last month with most financial advisors in this program agree with me and they listen to the logic of what I'm saying and they go, absolutely right. I am encountering nervous potential clients out there. And, you know, thanks for the reminder, Mark, that I really need to increase my activity getting out of the office and interacting with people. Like potential clients, which you should be. You should really double your efforts and get out there and interact with more people. So most of you in this program agree with me and appreciated the reminder. But it's interesting. I think this is the highest rate ever. We are running at about a rate of 40% of financial advisors who heard my message and disagree with me. And it's for different reasons, but it kind of boils down to, you know, advisor, all these 40% of advisors that are pushing back on, you know, this idea that a fundamental investment principle should be faith in the future. The reason that the advisors in this program seem to be disagreeing is some form of things are different this time. Or, you know, we've never had problems like we're encountering right now. Okay. I think that's a different form of saying things are different this time. So I'll deal with that. The other thing I wanted to talk about is we got three questions this month that led back to the same response from me. And the response from me, which I'll go through today, is Mark's four-step commitment to hire conversation. So what is that? Well, the questions that came in that triggered my desire to explain to the advisors in this program, you know, that the answer to their question lies in Mark's four-step commitment to hire conversation. Here are some of the questions that rolled in that led to that response. I got a question that said, Mark, when and how do I discuss my ideal client profile with potential clients? So I've said many, many times in this format, in this setting, that each and every one of you need to have an ideal client profile document. And we've provided samples of mine in previous months. If you just go in and search for ideal client profile in the Advisor Pack monthly search box or whatever program you're in, if you're listening to this and you're in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, search for it there. All I'm saying is search for the term ideal client profile. You should come up with an example of my ideal client profile. And if you don't, then just contact us and we'll provide it to you. But the point is, every one of you should have an ideal client profile. If you're accepting non-ideal clients, you should also have a non-ideal client profile in addition to your ideal client profile, which means you've got minimum standards for both types of clients, ideal and non-ideal. But the question is, you know, if I have an ideal client profile, Mark, when and how do I use it? So we'll go over that today. It's during Mark's four-step commitment to hire conversation. And then the another question that came in this month that the response was the same is during the commitment to hire, and don't panic, for those of you listening to this that don't know the term commitment to hire conversation, I'll get to that in a minute. But the point is, the question that came in was during the commitment to hire conversation, you know, potential clients usually have a lot of questions, such as, before I hire you, I'd like to know what do you charge? Or how does this work? You know, what is your process and so forth? So, or they say, well, anyway, these advisors this month asked me, Mark, do you have any tool to help me respond to these questions from potential clients? And the answer is yes. So anyway, let's deal with the first one first. I told you we had lots of reaction to my fundamental principle number one, around the idea that, Mark, things are different this time. Well, I would push back. I would say, the first thing I would say is your fundamental investment principles could be different than mine. You're allowed. You're allowed to have your own fundamental investment principles, but you should have some. So I've shared, you know, periodically my three fundamental investment principles, starting with principle number one. If you don't have faith in the future, we can't work together. Okay. So that's mine. I would just point out that if that's not one of yours, then what are yours? And has each and every one of your clients been talked to with those principles? So my main comment is, do you have fundamental investment principles and have you shared them with all of your clients? And if not, you need to do that. So I was just pointing out that of my three fundamental investment principles, the one that's applicable right now is faith in the future. You know, yes, there's worrisome world events. Yes, there's economic turmoil, high inflation and so forth. And it's going to be around for a while, seems like. And, you know, this question, are we or aren't we in a recession? You know, that's all economic news. And then as far as, you know, world events, economic news, the investment markets themselves are totally in decline, seem to be breaking down. And I'm just saying you're allowed to have your own fundamental investment principles. But for me, that's the one that's applicable. So I would just say you can have your own, that's fine, but to basically believe that faith in the future is no longer applicable is number one, to believe something that's never occurred. I mean, you're never going to convince me that things right now are worse than times in the past that I've studied over the last 200 years. I mean, we've had world wars. There were points during World War II where I'm convinced, you know, there was an odds-on chance that Hitler would have won that war and we would be living under Axis control to this day. I mean, that was at least a 50-50 point during World War II at three stages of that war. So you'll never convince me that what we're going through right now is anything approaching something like that. And even in my own lifetime, we've had, you know, as big or bigger declines in the markets. We've had economic turmoil. We've had, nuclear. I think what a lot of the advisors are trying to say, because I'm summing up a lot of emails into one thought here, but when some of the advisors say it's different this time, I don't think I have faith in the future anymore, what they're really describing is lack of confidence in leadership, that we have kind of the least noble, least capable, least impressive, you know, people that we've ever known who are in charge of literally everything right now. So in domestically, you know, in our government, the emails that I got around not having faith in the future had to be with, you know, the lack of confidence in the current leadership running things. Well, that's fine. That changes. Matter of fact, at least if you're here in the U.S., and about a third of you are in other countries around the world. But, you know, we're about to have a big election here in the next 30 days, I think 3 weeks. But, you know, things change, things move forward. And I believe, and I have to believe, because it's never been any other way, that when the pendulum swings too far one way, which I will agree it has currently in our country and worldwide, it eventually swings the other way, that the people are not stupid. And if you have a representative, you know, democracy or a democratic republic like we have here in the US, the public's not stupid and things get better over time. And there's changes in leadership. So whatever your excuse for things are different this time, or, you know, lack of confidence in current, you know, situation, you'll never convince me not to have faith in the future, because every time when there's been situations much worse than we're in right now, even with capable leaders that you have confidence in being in charge, you know, I have to believe faith in the future. So I'm sticking with my faith in the future on that. But you can have different fundamental investment principles as long as you share them with your clients. Okay, so let's deal with this Mark's four-step commitment to hire conversation. What is the commitment to hire conversation? A little over 25% of you listening to this right now have never heard of Bill Bachrach and do not use Bill Bachrach's tool called the Financial Roadmap. So what the Financial Roadmap is after you've identified a lead to becoming a potential ideal client. In other words, once you've identified someone who wants to sit down and talk business with you, who meets the profile of the client that you serve best, then what the financial roadmap is the first meeting with that client. And it's just a specific meeting. It's the best conversation in the financial services industry, in my opinion, to do what I call lead conversion, to take someone that meets your ideal client profile and explain your process in a way that's all about them, where they do most of the talking. And in the end, if they're a good fit for what you do, then they're in. You know, they recognize that they're a good fit. So the financial roadmap is nothing more than a lead conversion tool that's the most powerful tool in the industry. But the components of the financial roadmap are seven key conversations. So for the three quarters of you who do utilize the financial roadmap, there are seven conversations that comprise the financial roadmap. And one of those conversations is called the commitment to hire. It's towards the end of the first meeting with a potential client. And it goes something like this. Mr., Mrs. Potential Client, we've come to the point in our time together where you get to decide whether you want to hire me to make all of these values and goals that you've shared with me a reality. So that's basically what the commitment to hire. It's a point in the initial client interview where you kind of bring things to a head. It's time to make a decision. And, you know, the decision is, do you want to hire me to create this strategy for you? So that's the commitment to hire. Now, when Bill Bachrach teaches this, he's silent on a few things. He's silent specifically on three things that when I was going through this back at the turn of the century in the year 2000, I recognized that Bill was silent on these three things. And I talked to him about it. I was in his high-end coaching program. So what happened was I created, I just overlaid on top of Bill's commitment to hire conversation, my four-step commitment to hire conversation. So we're going to go through, you know, when and how do you discuss your ideal client profile? And then when the client has questions, so if you ask someone, anyone, if you say, you know, would you like to hire me to create this strategy for you? Well, obviously they're going to have some questions, not the least of which is, What will this cost me? Okay, so we're going to cover this in detail, because my four-step commitment to hire conversation The fact that he was silent on it solved some problems. It provided me with tactics that I can use as to when and how to introduce my ideal client. My four-step commitment to hire conversation nailed down how do I master a solid response to any question that a client will ask at that stage of the meeting. And then finally, you know, how do I align my services and set things up at the beginning of the relationship to where, you know, I can promise to exceed their expectations, and that I understand for each and every client what those expectations are. So these are the three things that were silent in that. And so we're going to go through this, and this four-step process just completely eliminates the problem by resolving all three of these and providing tactics specifically for each of those. So what is it? What is Mark's four-step commitment to hire? Number one, it's the ideal client profile conversation, and we'll go through it. Number two, it's Bill's classic commitment to hire conversation. Now, I'll talk about this because Bill has evolved this over the last 25 years, and we'll talk about that. Like whether you're using, if you're using the financial roadmap, you know, whether or not you're using the version of the commitment to hire conversation that I have always utilized, which, you know, acquired me 100 ideal clients. And more importantly, it got me to the point where I was acquiring, you know, more than two ideal clients per month, month after month after month, year after year after year for years, until I just decided to close my firm to do business. So the question is, are you using the same commitment to hire conversation that I was using? So we'll deal with that. Then the third step is the 10 pivotal questions. And I'll go through this. What I've done is I've created 10 questions that if you can master the response to these 10 questions, those are the responses to literally anything they would ask. So I've come up with a formula for learning how to master these questions that clients have, because you've got solid, coherent, concise responses to literally any question that they might ask you. And then fourth and final step is the expectations conversation. You know, once we're, you know, making progress and it looks like we're going to be working together with a potential client, then, you know, what's the conversation sound like that allows them to convey to me specifically what their expectations are, so that once I understand their expectations, now I can work to exceed them because I know what they are. All right, let's start first step, ideal client conversation. So before the commitment to hire, and if you're not using the financial roadmap, it's whatever step in your process that, you know, at the end of the initial client interview, at some point you say, okay, crunch time. We've put enough information on the table. Now you get to decide, do you want to hire me to create this strategy for you? All right. So before that, the step is what I call the ideal client conversation. And it goes like this. So just before I'm ready to get to that point, you know, get a commitment to hire me or not, I say something like this. You know, in talking with the two of you, normally it's a couple, you know, a married couple. You know, it seems to me after working with you here for an hour that it seems like you fit the profile of the client that we serve best. Hey, why don't you let me pull it out? Let's look at it together because I'd be curious what you think. All right. And that's it. That's all you that. And then you pull out your ideal client profile. So it has to be a document. You need to have it right then and there. And if you're talking with a married couple, two people, then you bring two copies of this and you have one in front of each of them. So they don't have to lean forward and read it together. They can go through this with you step by step. And then you start at the top, and yours could be different than mine, but you know, if you've adopted my ideal client profile, which a lot of you have, fine with me. I mean, a lot of advisors read my ideal client profile and say, seems like the way I think. Okay, then fine, use mine. It doesn't matter to me. But you, whatever yours looks like, you start at the top and you just read the headline. Don't read all the verbiage that goes after the headline. Just start with, you know, at the top with the first, you know, trait or quality that a client that you serve the best has. So in this case, I would say, well, let's start at the top. You know, the first thing that our clients all have is that they are all financial delegators. And how would you describe yourself as it comes to financial delegation? Now, you have to let both of them or each of them talk. So I always start, don't ask me why, I always start with the wife and I say, you know, Lynn, let's start with you. Would you say this describes you? And can you give me some examples of times when you have delegated financial things? And then just let them talk. You know, does this financial delegator, does this describe you? It describes me. Well, could you give me an example of some times when you've delegated finances? And so tell me more about it. So this ideal client profile conversation should be you talking less than 20% of the time and them talking 80% of the time. So our clients are all financial delegators. Does that describe you, Lynn? And then she talks and says whatever she's going to say. And then I turn from Len and I say, and Ted, what about you? How do you feel about that? Do you think this describes you? So then he describes that. So if this describes them, then move on to the next one. And we'll just take one more just to kind of show you how this works. But you go through the whole thing one by one. And oh, by the way, if you come to any one of these and either one of them does not fit that profile, don't push it. This is not a sales tactic. We're not trying to shove a square peg into a round hole or vice versa. We are trying to assess fit. We're trying to have a profile of the client that we serve best. And I'm only going to invite them into my ideal client community if they meet all of the criteria and don't fail on any one of them. Now, if you're asking Mark, did you have anyone that maybe back at the beginning, they said, well, I'd like to be a financial delegator, but I've never worked with anyone I had enough confidence in. You know, if you were to ask the question a little bit differently, Mark, have you ever worked with a financial delegator wannabe? The answer is yes, but I set it up in a very specific way. I would say, well, if you'd like for this to describe you, but it doesn't currently, let's go through the rest of them and see if there's any other issues. But if that's the only one at the end, you know, we could talk about that. I've done this with other clients. We just have to come to an arrangement. You have to understand that I only work with financial delegators, and you have to tell me up front that, you know, you've given me permission to coach you through this, that over the next 12 months, whenever I notice non-financial delegator behavior, it's permission based. You have given me permission to point it out and to say, this is, just so you know, this is not financial delegator behavior, but I'll coach you through it. So I'll answer your question. You know, like this is later on in subsequent meetings when they're not being a financial delegator, they're trying to get involved in, you know, making recommendations or something like that. So the formula is if they're agreeable to this, that I can call it out when I see it and then, you know, coach them through it. Say, I'll answer your question today, but where we're heading is at the annual review when it's been a year gone by that you're over this. I mean the arrangement is I'll coach you through it with the expectation that at the annual review we'll assess this. And if you're a financial delegator at that point, because you've seen, you know, a team that's worthy of trust, and you're willing to give it a try, well, then let's just try it for a year. And then at the annual review, I'll ask you straight up, are you a financial delegator now? And if you say yes, then we keep moving forward. If you say no, then we can politely part company at that point. So, but let's take one more. I'd say, okay, great. You're financial delegators. perfect. The second quality of the clients that we serve is they're passionate about their goals. Now, does this describe you, Lynn? How passionate are you about your goals? And let her talk. And then when she's finished, say, thanks, Lynn. That's very clear. It's obvious you're passionate about your goals. Ted, what about you? How passionate are you about your goals? And they're in the financial roadmap meeting, they're all sitting right there out on the table. And if you use some other methodology, make sure that when you're going through this one or some form of this one in your ideal client profile, make sure that their goals are out in front of them so that they can adequately respond by knowing what their goals are, because here they are right out on the table. And then, you know, Lynn and Ted or whoever the potential clients are, they can each individually respond to how passionate they are. So then you just go through this with all of them. So pause on each one, ask the headline, does this describe you? And then they're doing 80% of the talking, you're doing very little talking. And at the end, you have a verdict. So, you know, I would wrap this whole thing up by saying, well, I started this off by saying, it seemed to me you fit the profile of the client we serve best. Seems to me at this point, you are now saying that this absolutely does describe both of you. Have I got that right? So at the end of the whole thing, I just sum it all up by saying, you know, seems to me like you just finish telling me this that you agree that you do meet the profile of the client that we serve best. And then at that point, then with that now confirmed, now you can move to the commitment to hire conversation. So the commitment to hire, this is what I was saying. We've come to the point in our time together. I want to pull up the version that I use. So I use what I call the classic version, the version that Bill was teaching for many, many years, but we're going back almost a quarter of a century. And if you can read this, I'll give you a minute to look at this and see if this is the version that you're using, because this is the 1999 classic. So while you're reading that, I'm gonna say some things. So go ahead and read this, but I'm gonna talk so that you can think about a few things. What I'm not saying is that you need to change your commitment to hire conversation to the one that I use. I'm not saying that. Nor am I saying that you need to change anything. So if you have been taught through Bill Bachrach some other version that maybe you feel is more closely tailored to what you're doing, well, that's fine. I'm not saying change anything. What I'm saying is to you, just straight up, that if you want to know the version that I used, which led to me acquiring more than two ideal clients month after month after month, year after year after year for many, many, many years, then this is the version that I used. And if you're not using this, or if you think this is better than the version you're using, just let me know and I'll provide my version to you, okay? So all of this is just what we're walking through is a commitment to describe clearly and to commit to a trademarked term, truly comprehensive financial services. So in other words, we have defined what comprehensive financial services means in this program. It's actually delivering on 10 client deliverables with a checklist of over 100 items underneath those 10 client deliverables in order to coordinate, basically tie together all five areas of personal finance: financial planning, money management, estate planning, insurance, or I call it risk and safety management, and tax. So, you know, those are the five areas of personal finance. We've defined 10 client deliverables tying together those five areas. And then we teach you how to go out and create a checklist. My checklist has 142 deliverables checkpoints underneath the 10 client deliverables. But I think you can see now that that this commitment to hire is in essence describing something that doesn't exist elsewhere in the industry. And that is a defined term for what we just kind of loosely call comprehensive financial services. But now, because you're in this program and you are licensed to utilize this trademark term, you can now commit to truly comprehensive financial services. Okay, so that's the commitment to hire. And that's the version of the commitment to hire that I use. Bill has created that. That's not mine. That's why I grayed it out. It's nothing to do with me. This is Bill's brilliance. This is his genius. And now back to my three areas that I'm dealing with in the four-step commitment to hire conversation. Well, the 10 pivotal questions. So let me tell you what I did. I had my administrative manager. Now, this goes back to the year 2001. All right. So back in 2001, I'd already had, you know, several hundred financial roadmaps. Some of them were kind of fun, but hopeless. Like I did them with people that I knew were not going to meet the profile and stuff like that. So, but I did have at that point 200 financial roadmap conversations of people that did meet my ideal client profile. Now, I only converted one out of eight. The actual number is 7.8. So for every 7.8 financial roadmaps, I acquired one ideal client. But what I'm saying is I had 200 financial roadmap meetings. So I had my administrative manager pull all 200 and fast forward the recording to the commitment to hire, you know, the where I said in that meeting, well, we've come to the point in our time together where you get to decide whether you want to hire me to create this strategy to make this financial roadmap a reality for you. And so I started listening to all 200. And of course, when I said that commitment to hire, every one of them, 100%, had questions. And what I noticed was, yes, they were different questions in all 200 recordings, but I saw a golden thread running through them. And that basically there were 10 fundamental questions. And so once I realized, hey, they're asking it in different ways, but when I boil it all down, there's just 10 pivotal questions that they've got. I created a document for myself called the 10 pivotal questions. And for each one of them, I created a response, which is more in alignment with truly comprehensive financial services, not just what Bill Bachrach recommends for the average financial advisor to say at that point. No, in our world, we have a much more specific set of promises for the client and a much higher level of commitment to the client, such a high level that if you'll commit to, you know, to truly comprehensive financial services, I'll make you a wager that you're the only game in town. I can tell you statistically, because periodically I do hire a research company to go look into this in certain major cities, but I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you that statistically, the odds are zero that a client could find another financial advisor who could actually deliver on the 10 client deliverables. You follow me? In other words, I can tell you with authority that if you will implement our method, truly comprehensive financial services backed up by 10 client deliverables, that you're going to be the only game in town. There is no other advisor willing or able to provide all of that. All right. So that being the case, you know, these are the 10 questions. And the reason I had to carefully craft them a little differently than what Bill was saying in the commitment to hire is because we've taken the whole thing to a new level. All right. So I'm not going to go through them in the replay for this session. I will make my 10 pivotal questions available. I think we've made them available several times in the past, but if when the replay gets posted for this, I will get, you know, you'll have access to this and you can download it for your own use. And these are the 10 responses that if you'll master all 10 of them, then really no potential client could ask you anything that you didn't have a really tight response. So I thought I'd share one of them with you. This is pivotal question number 7, which is, hey, why should I work with you over all the other financial advisors in town? You know, what makes you so special? Okay. Let me tell you the advisor that contacted me this month. And so this question takes different forms, but the response is the same. That's the whole point. And so the question that was posed to the advisor that approached me this month was this. You know, they came to the commitment to hire and they said, hey, we've come to the point in our time together. You get to decide if you want to hire me to create this strategy for you. And they said, oh, hey, look, this sounds great. Fine. But I've got one other advisor that I need to interview. I had two advisors on my list. And I appreciate the time today. So now I understand what you do. I've just, you know, before I can make a decision, I have one other advisor that I need to go interview. Yeah. Okay. So instead of why should I work with you over other advisors? The question could be like that, you know, it's, hey, I'm in. How many of you have had somebody come in the past, a potential client and say, hey, I ripped this out of the Business Journal. Here are the top 10 financial advisors in town. And I've just made it my goal to go interview all 10. And at the end, I'm going to make a decision on which one that I'm going to hire. So have you had anything like that? Well, this response is the same. All right. It's just the question takes different forms. So let me just go through and give you an example of how this works. And then you can download later the rest of, you know, the other 9 pivotal questions. And then my action item for you is master these responses, because if you will master these 10, you're bulletproof. There's nothing anybody could ask you that you didn't have a tight, coherent, concise, conversational response. Now, the one thing I will say about the 10 pivotal questions is you need to break up these responses. That if you just go through and read this like it's presented here, it won't sound conversational. So the one skill that I'm assuming that you do have before you get into this is your skill with people and your instinct for knowing that this should be a two-way conversation. So in the middle of this, you need to pause periodically and get them involved. All right. But let's just say, you know, client says, you know, why should I work with you over other financial advisors? Or in the case of the advisor, you know, I have to interview one other advisor. Let me answer that one because it's the same with a little transition in that's slightly different. I would say, great. Great. Interview all the advisors you want to, and that's fine. But I might be able to save you time because I don't know if what we are providing in terms of services are precisely what you're looking for. I'm not sure what you're looking for, but if what we do is what you're looking for, we're the only game in town. So it's not like you could go out and interview, you know, 10 other financial advisors and find 3 who do what we do, or even 1 who does what we do. No, if you like what we do, we're it. Go ahead, interview every other advisor in town, but you'll never find anybody who's willing or able to deliver on what we do. So what I did right there is just kind of on the fly, deliver this whole thing. Let me go through this the way that it's in the 10 pivotal questions, and you can get the idea of how this works. Say, well, fine. You know, go ahead and interview the other advisor. But, you know, what it really boils down to is what you're actually expecting from your relationship with a financial advisor. So I'm not sure what you're looking for. And you could pause right there and say, what is that exactly? I know what we do, but what are you actually seeking? So, I mean, I'm just giving you examples of ways to pause skillfully to get them involved. But, you know, I don't know what you're looking for, but I can tell you one thing for sure. That if what we do here is what you're looking for, we're the only financial advisors who do what we do. So we provide a level of service called truly comprehensive financial services. What exactly are you wanting from your relationship with a financial advisor like me? So let them talk, let them explain what they're looking for. Now, be prepared. They may say something like, wow, I did not know that you were the only one doing what you do. And it's going to trigger a couple of things in their mind. It might go to a direction of, you know, wow, How so, you know? Or it could go a little bit different direction where they straight up ask you, so what do you do that others don't do? So, you know, what specifically makes you different? And we've got all that content right there, but let me just keep going through it. So I'm just picking up the script where we left off. Now I'm not saying that truly comprehensive financial services is what everybody needs or wants, but if that is what you're looking for, then I can save you some time, because we are the only game in town when it comes to what we do. It's not like there are other financial advisors or other firms out there who you could go interview who do what we do. We're it. So if you want truly comprehensive financial services, you're not going to find another firm or another financial advisor who's able or willing to do what we do for you. And then that's the point where you just let them talk. I'm telling you, they may not always do this, but most will at some point say, well, what is it? What is it specifically that you do that others don't? And that's where you say truly comprehensive financial services. And this is, your number is different than mine. What I'm trying not to say is the 10 client deliverables, because if I share that at this stage, well, then they're going to want to pull that out. Then they're going to want to go through that. So what I talk about is my checklist that I've built underneath the 10 client deliverables, which in this program, we train you to build a team and have your team build your however many deliverables checkpoints that your team is confident that they could be held responsible then for delivering on the 10 client deliverables. So I've got 142 deliverables checkpoints. You may have 102, you may have 250, you may have 97, whatever your number is, it's going to be different than mine. So truly comprehensive financial services is 142 deliverables checkpoints annually across all areas of personal finance. Were you aware that there are 142 items on the checklist in order for you to be provided truly comprehensive financial services? And they might say no. They will most likely say, let me see the 142 things. And that's where you say, well, that's proprietary. That's what we do. But the bottom line is, you know, it's our team that makes sure all that gets done. So that's the next bullet point. So what other things do we do that others don't do? Well, that right there, most advisors don't have a team. So what we have is a full team with a subject matter expert in each of the five areas of personal finance. Would you like me to go through those with you? Great, because I'll tell you the five areas, but in our world, it's not one comprehensive financial plan, it's five. So we have our team in each of these areas of personal finance create a full comprehensive financial strategy in each of these five areas. So when you work with our team, you're going to have a comprehensive written lifetime tax strategy. You're going to have also a comprehensive written lifetime estate planning strategy. You're also going to have a full, complete, comprehensive written lifetime money management strategy, as well as a financial planning strategy, which is focused on achieving your goals and objectives. And you, if you're using the financial roadmap, you gesture to all their goals listed right there on the financial roadmap. And, you know, last but not least, we will have a fifth full plan, in essence, a plan for increasing the safety of this overarching strategy now that it exists. And that's all about creating a margin of safety so that not only are you going to achieve your objectives according to our plan, but these five plans provide you with a margin of safety that, you know, we're confident not only will you achieve all your goals, but you'll achieve all your goals with a margin of safety built in case, you know, the financial markets or world events or, you know, anything goes awry, we've built in a margin of safety. And we update all five of those plans annually. And I can tell you, we guarantee to do this, to have five written comprehensive financial strategies in all these areas that I listed, there is no other firm that I'm aware of that goes to that level, that creates a plan that detailed or has five plans around each of these areas. Are you aware of a firm that creates five financial strategies and has a team member responsible for each of those? And they'll say no, because there is no one. I mean, the only place, there are a couple places that could do what we do, they just don't. And if you were to hire them, and it's Ernst & Young and Northern Trust, I have found a few that when I've held their feet to the ground and said, could you deliver what I deliver at this level? They've said yes, but typically the fees are going to run over six figures, you know, like over $100,000 a year for the client to actually get that level of service. So got off track, but so we've talked about, you know, we have 100 and however many deliverables checkpoints. We also have a team that makes us different, you know, five plans. You know, you want me to keep going, Mr. and Mrs. Potential Client? I mean, there's lots of things we do that others don't do. You want me to keep going? Yeah. Keep going. Okay. Well, I make an advisor pact with every ideal client, and, you know, pact like a pledge. So I make an advisor pact pledge to you, and pact is an acronym, and it stands for protection, attention, coordination, transparency. And we have a full description of that. I'll go through it in a minute so you can hear what it sounds like. But that's another thing that, you know, there is no financial advisor anywhere that does all four of those, you know, protection, attention, coordination, transparency. They might do one. You might even find an advisory firm that will do two of these four, but you'll never find any advisor or firm anywhere that will, you know, guarantee you right at the beginning of the relationship to deliver on those four client expectations. Okay. And sometimes I don't have to go through the four right in and there. Normally I go through the advisor pack pledge in the next meeting, the implementation meeting, only after they've hired us. But if they want to know what it is, you can go through it here, and I'll go through it briefly with you. And then you want me to keep going? You want me to keep describing other things that we do that others don't do? And they say, yeah, keep going. You're on a roll. Okay. Well, we have three bottom line client outcomes that we guarantee to each and every client. You want me to go through them? Yeah, go through them. Okay. All right. Well, we promise, and I would say we guarantee, I'm telling you, we guarantee these three things. And just stop right there for a minute. Tell me a single other financial advisory firm that will guarantee anything. Like, they just don't use that. That word is not in the vocabulary of most financial services companies. And the fact that we're guaranteeing this, it's just something that, you know, that right there is something you'll never find at any other firm, typically. And I'll tell you, we don't guarantee outcomes. So I'm not guaranteeing the market or performance or anything like that. I'm guaranteeing my service level to you. And so the three bottom line client outcomes that I can guarantee that you will have is you'll always be on track to your goals. So I guarantee that you'll always be on track to your goals. How can I guarantee that? Because I'm going to be the one that pays attention to know when inevitably you will drift off track even a little bit. You know, market declines, there's war in Ukraine, you know, something's going, you know, they decide in the middle of raging inflation to raise taxes, you know, crazy stuff. And so basically, let's say you do drift off track. It happens inevitably with every client. How can I guarantee you're on track to your goals? Because you're not going to have to say anything. I will bring you in proactively if ever you drift off track. And I will come always prepared with the recommendations that are going to be required for you to get back on track. So there may be some times where I'm holding the entire team accountable, including you, to getting back on track. But that's my commitment to you. You'll always be on track, or I will pull you in proactively and will provide you with all the recommendations necessary to get back on track. And I'll hold everybody accountable to that. So you get to tell me, you know, you decide, Lynn, what's it worth to you to know that you're always on track to your goals? Great, Lynn. Ted, what about you? How important is it to you to know that you're always on track to your goals? Great. Okay, well, that's client outcome number one. Client outcome number two is, you know, we are so proactive in our planning process that regarding financial issues that you'll encounter over the years, we will guarantee that you'll never miss any financial planning opportunities. And not only that, that you will never have any financial surprises. Certainly no planning surprises, like a tax surprise that could have been identified up front. You know, all these things that blow up in people's plans, it's because they're not proactive and they don't get ahead of issues. And so therefore people miss opportunities to do things, you know, max out on their qualified plans at work or take advantage of benefits or, you know, they miss out on financial opportunities. Or, you know, how frustrating is it, you know, at tax time to hear the bad news kind of late in the game that, oh, you've got a $30,000 tax liability that we didn't anticipate. Oops. Well, you get to decide what's it worth to you to never miss any financial planning opportunities and to never have any financial planning surprises. What's that worth to you? You tell me, Lynn. Great, Lynn. Ted, what's it worth to you to know that you'll never miss any financial opportunities ever again? Great. Third outcome is just making better financial decisions overall. So I think a lot of clients think that we're just, you know, you work with us and we're just going to focus on the investment advice and making the investments appropriate and whatever, doing asset allocations and talking about the markets. No. Yes, we're going to do that. We will guarantee that you'll be on track to that and you'll make great, smart decisions regarding your investments and the investment advice. That's a given. I'm saying what we do is so much more. It's like 20% of what we do. So what's the other 80%? It's you making better financial decisions in all areas of your financial life. Okay. And then you go through and give examples. You know, what about major purchases when you, you know, purchase or lease a vehicle? What about taxes? What about estate planning? You know, you go through and give examples of areas of their financial life where, you know, you're guaranteeing that if they will interact with you in the way that you're expecting, that, you know, if they play ball with you, that you'll guarantee that they will make better financial decisions in all areas of their financial life. So, it, you know, what's it worth to you to know that you're making better financial decisions, Lynn, along the way in all areas? Great. Ted, what's it worth to you to know that you're making better financial decisions in all areas of your financial life? Great. Well, those are the three bottom line client outcomes. So I'll go back right now. I'll go through the advisor packed pledge. This is usually at the next meeting, at the implementation meeting, but I'll fly through it. There is an entire module that you have access to called the Essential Elements of Advisor Pact. And it goes through what I'm about to go through, but in much greater detail. So this Advisor Pact pledge, it can have a 1-minute version. It can have a 3-minute version. You can have a 5 or 10 minute version. Or if somebody wanted to go out to dinner and talk to you about this Advisor Pact pledge, you will be prepared to talk all night if you need to, with the premise being there are 4 client expectations that we know that by promising and delivering on these 4 things, there is no other financial advisor. There is no other financial firm that is either able or willing to deliver on all 4 of these 4 client expectations. And it boils down to that PACT is a goal. PACT is an acronym. So I'm going to orchestrate a team to be able to make this pledge to you. So what is my Advisor PACT pledge? Well, PACT is an acronym. It stands for Protection, Attention, Coordination, Transparency. I'm going to go through just kind of the fast version of this. So I'll leave it to you to go through the module and master this so that you can have a conversation of any length on this and make sure it's a conversation where your skill level is to the point you're letting them have a word in edgewise. But let's take them one at a time. Let's start with protection. You know, we understand that you have other financial people in your life. Well, especially in a situation like that, it's important that all of your financial people are on the same page with a clear understanding of who's benefiting from the advice that they're giving you. So when it comes to protection, I will step up and I'll agree to be the one-stop shop for helping make sure that when any of the other financial people in your life make a recommendation, that you're clear, crystal clear of when and if any of these financial people have a potential conflict of interest. So who's doing that now for you? So you've got a tax accountant, you've got, you know, insurance agents, you've got maybe a money manager. The advisor this week had someone working with Ken Fisher Investments. Okay, so you have a money manager that you're working with, and maybe some other financial people in your life. The question is, they're all giving you recommendations. Who is stopping, and looking, someone who's conflict-free, who's looking at all these recommendations as they come in real time before you act on them to identify that, this may be a good recommendation from your insurance agent. Could be. Let's look at it. But I can tell you this, there's looks like approximately $50,000 commission that is to be earned by the agent. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all. I'm not saying that, Mr. and Mrs. Client. What I am saying is, you know, it needs to be disclosed. Was it disclosed? Were you aware that if you say yes to this recommendation from your insurance agent, that there is you do the research. The advisor this week, it was $86,000. Were you aware that for that recommendation, the commission for this advisor on your team is something in the neighborhood of $85,000-$86,000. Were you aware of that? No, I was not. Okay. Well, anyway, just in the big picture, that's my commitment. So you decide what's it worth to you to have a conflict-free member of your team who's looking at all the recommendations and just making sure that if there are conflicts, that you're aware of it before you make a final decision. Who's doing that for you right now? Okay, great. Well, I'm willing to step up and be that conflict-free person who coordinates with all your other advisors, and more on that later in a minute, as far as coordination. But you know, I'll be the one to raise my hand and I'll work with them and make sure that you are aware. It's an awareness issue that the word in our industry is disclosure, that all the potential conflicts of interest are fully disclosed. So attention, who on your team currently has raised their hand and said, I will make sure that every member of your team is spending enough time paying attention to your situation as opposed to all their other clients. You know, we understand all these advisors of yours have other clients, but the question is, are they paying enough attention to you so that you are assured that you're always on track to your goals? In other words, that they haven't, you know, looked away, forgotten about you, and maybe you've drifted off track and nobody's going to say anything. Well, what's that worth to you? What's it worth to you to have someone on the team paying attention so that whenever you drift even a little bit off track, that you're going to get a call and somebody's going to bring you in and we're going to sit down and they're going to already have recommendations prepared so that you know precisely what to do, what actions to take to get you back on track. So what's it worth to you to have somebody, Lynn, paying close attention like that? Great. Ted, what's it worth to you to have someone paying that level of attention to your situation? So, okay. And so you get feedback. It's a conversation. Third, so PACT, PA, protection, attention, coordination is number three. So I mentioned coordination a minute ago when we were talking about protection, but you know, is it not true that you've got your tax accountant, you've got your money manager, you've got your estate planning attorney, you certainly have your auto and homeowners and maybe life insurance agent. How many people are there actually on your team, Mr. and Mrs. Potential Client? And so it's a conversation. And then this is where you get the opportunity to explain, well, that's your implementation team. You're already working with them. That's fine. You know, it's just that who's coordinating all these people? What I'm doing is coming in and filling a gap. What I'm seeing is, yes, you have all these financial people in your life, but no, they're never talking to each other. They're never collaborating and sharing their plan for you going forward. They're not coordinating to create an overarching strategy that combines all these things, that's a current gap in your situation. And so I've got what we call the oversight team. We will create the overarching plan, and then we will share it with your implementation team, and we will coordinate them. We'll make sure that when there's crossover issues, they're talking to each other, that, you know, for the first time in history, they are actually being well coordinated. You know, they're working with each other as a team. Okay. And that's me. I will coordinate all of these team members to make sure that every recommendation that you're getting from all of these different people in your life are perfectly aligned with the objectives that you've shared with me. All right. So that's coordination. And, you know, what's it worth to you to have that level of coordination regarding your financial affairs? Lynn, what's that worth to you? Ted, what's it worth to you to have someone on your team that's enforcing coordination, making sure that, you know, when it's important, you know, that the team is talking to each other? Great. That's great. So that's what it's worth to them. And then finally, transparency. You know, we've come to the point in the financial services industry where even the most sophisticated clients and skilled clients have a difficult time understanding what and how they're paying for their investments. You know, I talked to a potential client last week, and when I was asking about the fees on some of their annuities that they had that they owned, they said, as far as I know, we're paying nothing. It's like, I didn't, you know, they were explaining to me that they didn't pay any commissions or anything going into the annuity. And as far as they know, they're not paying any fees year to year. It's just, you know, nothing. And I'm like, well, okay, well, there's no free lunch. We all know that. So who on your team is digging into all these financial products and services that you've got, Mr. and Mrs. Client, for full transparency, to make sure that there aren't hidden fees or fees that you're just not aware of? You know, who's actually raised their hand on your team and said, I will be the one to go through all your financial products and services annually and flush out any and all fees so that you know precisely what you're paying, even when it comes to hidden fees. So who does that? Okay. Nobody. All right, great. So then what's it worth to you? What's it worth to you to have someone on your team raise their hand and say, I will step up and provide leadership to make sure that everything is fully transparent to you, that for every holding that you have, and with every one of these financial advisors on your team, the insurance agents, the accountant, the estate planning lawyer, that it's upfront and fully disclosed. You know what they're being paid, how they're being paid. There is full transparency. So what's that worth to you, Lynn, to have that level of transparency? Ted, how about you? What's that worth to you? So that is my advisor pact pledge to you on these four areas we call the four client expectations. And by the way, Mr. and Mrs. Client, I've been doing this a long time, and I can tell you this, I can save you some time. There is no other financial advisor that you could approach that is either willing or able to make guarantees to delivering on these four things. So that, in sum, is what we call truly comprehensive financial services. So that's the 10 pivotal questions, the advisor pact pledge. Was that helpful to go through that? So that's step three of the four-step process. The fourth step's a slam dunk. It's so if my goal is to exceed client expectations, well, how do I know what those expectations are? So that starts with the team goal. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and answer me honestly. May I assume that you have gotten together all your members of your team? We call them subject matter experts. Have you pulled together everyone who's serving your clients and to repeat this team goal out loud that you've established for them and that they commit to pulling their weight with the team goal that you shared with them? May I assume you've done that with everyone on your team and that every one of the members of your team, the subject matter experts, have all committed to contribute to this team goal? Can I assume you've done that? Well, I'm going to say stop. If you haven't, then this is a stop everything moment. Like just stop everything and don't move forward until you've gotten this done. And I'm going to say, you know, if you made it your goal next business day, tomorrow, to clear this up, you could in one day contact everybody on your team, establish the team goal, make them repeat it out loud so and assure you that they are committed to pulling their weight and also, you know, that they over time will play their part on the team to contribute to the team goal. You know, in other words, why have a team goal if there's going to be somebody on the team that's not committing to contribute to the team goal? So what you're going to do is you're going to go to your team members, each one of them, and you're going to say, repeat after me. I commit to contributing to our team goal, which is to consistently exceed every client's expectations as measured by an increasing client referral rate. Okay. And if I were to add any word to this, increasing annual client referral rate. In other words, a look back of 12 months is how we recommend doing it. But this is the gist of it. You know, A, does your team know that there's a team goal? B, have you shared it with them? C, have you made them contribute it so that they confirm back to you that they are committed to contributing to that team goal? Have those things happened? If not, you go to each one of your team members tomorrow and say, repeat after me. And you say something like this. These are the elements of the team goal and what we recommend. And then to finish off that conversation, we think it's important to be very specific. That's more like strategy. This is the strategy. The strategy is the team is going to consistently exceed every client's expectations. And the way we're going to measure success is we're going to watch the annual client referral rate. All right. So that's the strategy. Well, then what are the tactics? What specifically are we expecting? Well, you say this. Well, and as far as tactics, from every team member of which you are, for the team goal, I expect two things from you. Number one, I expect you to update the comprehensive written lifetime tax strategy, estate planning strategy, money management strategy, whatever they're in charge of. I expect you to update the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy for your area for each client annually. Okay, so that's number one, an annual update of your portion of the comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. And then number two, I expect you to provide 10 to 15 impressive action items or recommendations annually for each client. So that's each SME providing 10 to 15 impressive or, you know, they say, what's impressive? Well, it's above average. I brought you on the team with the understanding that you're an above average financial planner and above average tax accountant and above average estate planning attorney or whatever. So you would agree you're above average still? You still feel that way? Yes. Okay, great. So you're above average. Then provide me with 10 to 15 above average action items and recommendations annually for each client. So those are the two things I expect. All right. So now that being in place, let's get back to number four, the expectations conversation. So if you've gotten the team on board with the team goal, then you start having this expectations conversation with every client. And I'm saying that you do this in the initial client interview. This is the expectations conversation. However, if you have clients right now that you've never asked them what their expectations are, you're going to go back and make a note to do that right now. Like next meeting with every client, you're going to fix this. And let me just ask you, if you and I were coaching one-on-one, and if I were advising you directly, and I asked you to provide me with a written list of bullet-pointed expectations for each of your ideal clients, like a document for each ideal client, listing in bullet points what each of their expectations are. And oh, by the way, one expectations for each spouse. So he's got these expectations and she's got these expectations. Do you have that? Like, could you provide that to me? Okay. Well, if that's in place and it needs to be, then this is how it works. Then what we do is we deliver on truly comprehensive financial services, because that in and of itself, the 10 client deliverables backed up by, you know, in my case, 142 deliverables checkpoints, yours is whatever the number is for you. But, you know, that level of financial services is not delivered elsewhere. So that in and of itself will exceed most clients' expectations without having to go any further. That should exceed most clients' expectations. But just to be sure, the deliverables team then needs to make the effort to exceed each individual ideal client's expectations, okay? And so that means you sitting down with each ideal client and saying, what are your expectations of the relationship that we have in place here? So that's my question. Have you done that? Have you sat down with every client, both spouses, and said, what do you expect from this relationship that we have? And honestly, is that what's happening now? Because if not, you need to go back and make a note. You need to have that conversation with every client. I would not have a specially called meeting just for that. I would just say, make it a point. Like over the next 4 months, meet with every client and have as a part of the agenda, have this conversation, which we call the expectations conversation. Okay. So what does that sound like, this expectations conversation? It's very easy. It's what I've just been saying. You know, what do you expect from a relationship with a financial advisor like me? And then they say something. Lynn says something. Ted says something. Then they're done. Then you ask the same question in a little bit different way. You just tell them, well, you know, we have a team goal to consistently exceed your expectations. So what would represent going above and beyond in your mind? Then shut up again. You basically ask the same question, but using different words. Lynn, what does that mean, going above and beyond in your mind? Thanks, Lynn. Ted, what does going above and beyond mean for you? And then you ask the same question a different way. And you go, if we're sitting here a year from now at the annual review, and we actually exceeded both of your expectations, would you please share with me some of the things that we did throughout the year along the way that made that happen? Like, what did we actually do if we're sitting here a year from now and you're thrilled? What is it? What did we do? Lynn? Thanks, Lynn. Ted? Like, if we're sitting here a year from now and we knocked your socks off, you know, what did we do? Lay it out for me. So just right there, I've given you the same question, asking it three different ways. They're telling you what they expect. Your job is to take what they say and think of it as two columns. You've got Ted's column of bullet points and you've got Lynn's. So for Ted, what he expects is bing, bang, boom, bang, boom, those bullets. For Lynn, Lynn expects these expectations, boom, 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 boom. So now you've got a document that you provide to each one of your subject matter experts and say, okay, I know we're providing truly comprehensive financial services. I know that is something that's way more than any other financial advice. You know, we're the only game in town doing that. Okay, so I get it. But in addition to that, here's a document that gives Lynn and Ted, the clients, Lynn and Ted Smith, each of their expectations. So now your job is, on top of what we're doing, to be aware of these expectations and, you know, hey, how can we exceed expectations for a client if we don't know what they are? Well, I'm doing my job as trusted advisor. I'm telling you, this is what they expect. Go exceed that. Just look at this and do little things throughout the year that, for your narrow field of finance, it not, you know, it's going to exceed their expectations because we know what their expectations are. Okay, so you get it. I think you see now how Mark's four-step commitment to hire conversation fills in the gaps. It tells you when and how to use the ideal client profile. It gives you responses to master, which will make you the expert of being able to respond skillfully to any question they might have through the 10 pivotal question responses. And then the expectations conversation. You know, you by sitting down and asking the client just straight up, what do you expect? Now you can provide your entire team with a document for each client listing what they expect with the instruction, you know, the team goal is to exceed their expectations, go forth and exceed. So that you're doing your part in that effort. All right. Well, I hope this was helpful. Each and every month, what really works best is when you have an obstacle or a problem, or you're struggling with filling a team vacancy, or you have a team member who's a problem, or if you have a client who's a problem, whatever you're struggling with as a part of this program, you go to the whatever program you're in, the Advisor Pack monthly program, and click contact us. And in essence, if it's a technical issue, just type it out like an email right there. You'll see right there where to explain what the technical issue is. But if it's an advisory question, like you just want my opinion on something, if you want me to see it, it's plainly linked. You click the link where you leave me a recording and you just send me a voicemail. It gives you, I don't know, I think it's 3 to 5 minutes to kind of state your obstacle and just tell me what's going on. Explain what the issue is. And then we will use this session. I'll either respond to you directly or I'll collect your question and we'll cover it here next month. So with that, as in every month, we wish you every future success. And until then, I'm Mark Little.